Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Tom.
Hi, I'm Stephanie.
And it's our unit on festivals today.
Yes.
Which is kind of ironic because, of course, today is October 10th, Shuangshijie, and that's a celebration here in Taiwan for the Republic of China for Taiwan or whatever you want to celebrate. But
Taiwan.
Taiwan, yes, indeed. But we're actually going to be talking about something that's going on way on the other side of the world, or in other parts of the world, but we're talking about hot air ballooning, okay? And there is a festival which takes place in New Mexico, which we'll get to later on, but we're specifically talking about ballooning hot air balloons, where you have this large balloon, basically, and there's a basket at the bottom of it, and then you just heat the air inside the balloon. And, of course, as you know, hot air rises, so that balloon will go up in the air, and that can be a lot of fun. Now, I haven't really had the chance to do this before. When I was in university, there was a balloonists club, and you could join it and pay a fee, and you'd probably get to ride in a balloon, say, once every month or so or something like that. I never participated in that, but here in Taiwan, of course, you can go down to Taidong there and get a chance to ride up in a balloon. It's tethered to the ground. You can't go very high, but still it's quite an experience.
I've never been in one. I would go, though.
Me neither.
If I had the chance. I'm not too scared to do this. I probably wouldn't skydive. Although I just found out my niece went twice. I'm not too scared to try this, though. I would go in a hot air balloon, especially if you're in the kind of area this is in, like New Mexico. Yeah, it would be pretty safe, I would think. I wouldn't go hot air ballooning with a lot of cliffs and mountains, perhaps.
That might be a little scary, indeed. But in our article today, the title is "The Sky's the Limit with Hot Air Balloons." Okay, you can probably go as far as you want to in a hot air balloon. It can be quite a rewarding experience. So let's get to it, everybody. Let's find out what hot air ballooning is all about. Let's read today's lesson one time through.
Soaring hundreds of feet in the air, you gaze at the gorgeous landscape far below. Next, you turn your attention to the colorful balloons dotting the sky, marveling at the sight surrounding you. With all the vivid colors and designs filling the air, it's as if the sky were a kaleidoscope. You're finally fulfilling your dream of flying in a hot air balloon. And it's every bit as amazing as you'd expected it to be. Though the bright balloons we're familiar with today have only been around since the late 1950s, people have been sending hot air balloons into the sky for centuries. In fact, Chinese lanterns were used as early as the 3rd century BC to send military signals. It wasn't until the 18th century, however, that hot air balloons that could carry people appeared in Europe. Joseph Michel and Jacques-Étienne Montgolfier flew the first unmanned hot air balloon in France on June 4, 1783. That September, their hot air balloon, Aerostat Révillon, became the first to carry living creatures, a sheep, a duck, and a rooster. The flight lasted 8 minutes, and covered 3 kilometers before landing safely with the animals unharmed. The brothers then moved on to manned balloon flights, sending 3 people up in a tethered balloon on October 15, 1783. A month later, 2 men flew 9 kilometers across Paris in a Montgolfier balloon. Nowadays, there are hot air balloon activities and festivals all over the world. For instance, it's possible to go on a hot air balloon safari in Kenya. Of course, Taiwan has its own international balloon festival in Taidong County, while Albuquerque's International Balloon Fiesta in New Mexico, U.S., is worth checking out too.
Okay, everybody, let's talk about the contents of today's lesson, The Sky's the Limit, with hot air balloons. And, of course, when I hear about hot air balloons, I start thinking of an old song. Mm. Up, up and away in my beautiful balloon. You may have heard that song. It's kind of a corny old song.
I like that song.
But in any case, that is one song that is about ballooning. But in any case, we're talking about ballooning in today's program. And the title of our article for today is The Sky's the Limit. We often say that when we talk about something is unlimited. That means you can go as far as you want or you can get as much as you want. The sky's the limit. And we're talking about hot air ballooning. Of course, you probably can't take a balloon all the way out into outer space. That would be going too far. But in any case, I think basically this title is telling us that, hey, if you ride in a hot air balloon, it's going to feel as if you could fly forever. So here in the first paragraph, it says, soaring hundreds of feet in the air, you gaze at the gorgeous landscape far below. So this is what you might expect to experience if you're in a hot air balloon. You are soaring hundreds of feet in the air. So here we've got the verb to soar, S-O-A-R. That just means you fly high in the air. We oftentimes use this to describe eagles. The eagle is soaring high in the air. It's flying in the air. And usually we can imagine the eagle with its wings spread out really wide, and it's just flying freely, and there is no trouble at all.
Yeah, so we've got a gorgeous landscape far below. It's beautiful, it's gorgeous. And the landscape describes the earth below. There are different types of landscapes. I grew up in a desert landscape. Here in Taiwan, we've got lots of green and trees and mountains. It's quite beautiful landscape. Landscape can be plural if you're talking about different types of landscapes. But if you could, you know, if you just have one area you're looking at, you could say, oh, I really like that landscape. And you can also landscape your yard. If you have a home and a front yard or a backyard, you can have professionals come over and actually landscape it to make it look beautiful. They decide where the trees will go, what bushes you have. That's kind of fun. That's something that happens in my family. We have a landscaper. So next, you turn your attention to the colorful balloons dotting the sky, marveling at the sight surrounding you. If you marvel at something, most of our listeners have seen that word marvel because of Marvel comics, right? Mm-hmm. But if you marvel at something, you're pretty amazed at something. Wow, something's pretty cool. So you marvel at it, you're surprised at how beautiful it is. And I can imagine the sight from way up above would be quite lovely.
Right, so you must be part of some festival where there are other balloons going up into the sky. So you're looking at them and you're marveling at the sight of all those colorful balloons with the different patterns and things like that. It's a sight to see, or it's quite a sight to see. And with all the vivid colors and designs filling the air, it's as if the sky were a kaleidoscope. So here we've got the word with all those vivid colors. Basically, the with here means because you have all those vivid colors and because there are all those designs in the air, well, therefore, it's like you're looking through a kaleidoscope. A kaleidoscope, by the way, in Chinese is wanhuatong, I believe, a kaleidoscope. And yes, indeed, you see all those vivid colors. They're not just colors, but they are vivid colors. And if something's vivid, it's very clear, it's very easy to see, it's bright, it's powerful, it's strong, it's clear. Vivid colors, so you can see red and green and vermilion and chartreuse and violet. Oh, those colors are just everywhere. It's like a sunset.
Beautiful. A kaleidoscope was that little toy that I saw it a couple of times when I was a kid. It's sort of old-fashioned. You'd turn the front of it and the colors would be all different colors inside. It's really old-fashioned. I don't know if anyone even has them these days. Everything's so modern and electrical and electronic. You're finally fulfilling your dream of flying in a hot air balloon. So if you fulfill something, you complete it. Maybe you have a goal. but you reach the goal, you accomplish it, you could say, I've fulfilled my goal. So that's pretty cool, to fulfill your dream of flying in a hot air balloon. And it's every bit as amazing as you expected it to be. Bet the expectations are pretty high for that sort of trip, that sort of adventure. So you wouldn't want to be disappointed. I doubt I would be disappointed, though, getting to take a trip. I think the one in Taitung County sounds fun. We're going to get to that in a minute. But if you want to get into a hot air balloon, you have a chance here in Taiwan even.
Of course, you're here in Taiwan, where there are 23 million people who want to do the same thing. So good luck in getting a ride in one of those balloons. I went down there with my family once, but the weather conditions were not good.
And
we couldn't go up in the balloon. And besides, they said, you can only go up for a few minutes. And it's at the end of a rope, and you don't get to go up very high. But that's understandable, because there are so many other people who want to do that as well. But, if you go to maybe New Mexico or something like that, you might be able to stay up there a little bit longer and fulfill that dream to make your dream come true. Now, let's move on now to the next paragraph here. It says, though the bright balloons we're familiar with today have only been around since the late 1950s, people have been sending hot air balloons into the sky for centuries. Okay, so of course, we know that bright balloons are quite common nowadays. The bright balloons we've seen, or we do see nowadays, actually began to be popular in the late 1950s. But even though that's true, people have been sending these hot air balloons into the sky for a very, very long time. And the first thing I think about, of course, are the lanterns. I don't know if you would call them balloons, but the concept is the same. The sky lanterns that they send into the sky in Pingxi every year around, is it Yuan Xiaojie, I think, Lantern Festival. Mm-hmm. Those, of course, are similar. You use hot air, and that makes the lantern go up in the sky. And Chinese people, of course, have been doing that for thousands of years.
In fact, Chinese lanterns were used as early as the 3rd century BC. That was a long time ago. Why were they sending lanterns up? Well, they weren't for romantic reasons. They were actually being used to send military signals. So there would be two armies fighting each other. The only way you could get a message to, you know, a leader, maybe he was at the front of all of the soldiers, was to send that message up in a lantern. You couldn't make a phone call. There was no way to do that. And sometimes they would use birds, but here they actually use the lanterns to send military signals, which is kind of fun. A signal is some sort of sound, or it doesn't have to be a sound, though. It can be something visual, something you see that communicates some sort of information to you. Those lights that we stop at when we're on the street driving a car, those are called signals, light signal, right? Those are signals. Or sometimes when the train is running, there will be a train signal that you whistle or sound that lets you know the train's coming. That's a signal. So maybe you've been in a class and you're not supposed to be passing notes, but you and your friend have sort of this way to communicate with each other. Maybe you wave a hand or nod your head a couple times as a signal. So it's something you do that can communicate some sort of information to someone else.
And it wasn't until the 18th century, which would be the 1700s, however, that hot air balloons that could carry people appeared in Europe. And we'll talk about that in just a couple of seconds. But right now, we're going to take a break and listen to our Chinese teacher.
Hello, everyone. My name is Tina. 我们来看到今天文章的第一个句子写着Soaring hundreds of feet in the air, you gaze at the gorgeous landscape far below. 在一刚开始呢，就描述搭乘热气球的景象。首先我们看到的是分词构句，从 soaring 开始。Soar 原来当作动词，有高飞、翱翔的意思。举个例子来说， Flames were soaring into the sky.指的呢就是火焰直窜天空，而看到呢你能够升高翱翔在数百英尺的空中， You gaze at gaze at， 也就是有凝视着什么地方。那么远远在下方的绝美的景致 landscape 这个字当作名词就解释成为风景。接着我们来看到同样一段的第三个句子 With all the vivid colors and designs filling the air, it's as if the sky were a kaleidoscope。首先呢，这里要介绍一个句型是 with 加上名词，那在名词的后面呢，我们可以加上 ving 来表示名词主动的意味，或者是在名词的后面加上 vpp 来表示被动的意味。首先我们来看到 filling 在这里是 ing 结尾，是主动的意味，因为这里提到的是呢，这个空中鲜艳生动跟色彩的设计呢，是铺满充满在整个空中当中，所以是主动的意味。这里要注意，我们使用的是主动的 filling。而其实这样子的句型 with 加上名词，后面再加上一个 ving 或 vpp， 可以表达成为原因。另外一个常用的呢，则是可以表达一种附带的状态。举例来说，他的双手交叉着 ，Jane 盯着他的弟弟看。With her arms folded, Jane stared at her little brother. 这里的 folded, 双手是背交叉着的，所以表示这种状态 ,VPP 表被动。在这里 with 的片语就是一种附带的状态。而这一段呢，描述的就是骑乘这个热气球的一种风景。接着来看到在第二段就来说明热气球到底它的历史何来。第二段的最后一句提到 It wasn't until the 18th century, however, that hot air balloons that could carry people appeared in Europe. 请同学可以划线这样子的句子 It wasn't until加上一个时间，然后 that 加上一个主要的句子，中文我们就直接翻译成直到怎么样才怎么样，所以是直到了18世纪，那么你会发现可以载人的热气球才出现在欧洲。我们再用这样的句型来造一个句子， It wasn't until I went there that I began to see the reality。中文就要解释成为直到我到了那里我才开始看到现实的状态。要特别注意这样的句型它所代表的中文含义。
We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned, we'll be right back. Welcome back, guys. We're in day one of our festival unit. We're talking about a hot air balloon festival, which is pretty exciting, and some of the history behind it. We set the scene in the first paragraph, kind of describing what you might expect if you were to get a ride in a hot air balloon. And then in the next paragraph, we've been talking aboutThe history behind hot air balloons. Today, if you see a hot air balloon, we're always kind of expecting those beautiful, colorful, what do you call that material, the fabric that's around
it? Maybe nylon or something?
Maybe nylon, yeah. It's really pretty. They always make them quite lovely so that they look appealing. Remember that word, appealing, attractive to people? We found out, though, they've been around for a long time. They haven't always been ready to carry people, but they were used to send military messages.Way back in the 3rd century BC in China. And it wasn't until the 18th century, that's the 1700s, that hot air balloons could actually carry people around. And that happened in Europe.
And of course, they had to work up to that. You don't want to send someone up in a balloon first thing. You need to experiment with things and maybe then animals. And then later you try it with people, just like when you send people into space. You send a monkey or a dog first. But in any case, we've got some French people here. And let's see if I can say these names correctly. Joseph Michel, right? Mm-hmm. And Jacques Etienne Montgolfier. Couple of French guys here.
Yeah.
they flew the first unmanned hot air balloon in France on June 4th, 1783. Wow.
They're brothers. I just found it. They're brothers, guys.
They're brothers.
Yeah.
Okay. And brothers. I think that was even before the French Revolution there.
Yeah.
And this was unmanned, which means there was not a person in that balloon. They just sent it up into the air. As an experiment, and they did that in the summer of 1783.
That's right. So this was a long, long time ago. Kind of reminds me of the Wright brothers who invented the airplane, you know?
Mm-hmm.
They were working together. These guys were working together, too. That September in 1783, their hot air balloon that was named Aristide Réveillon, this doesn't mean dream. It means a nighttime celebration, kind of a festival. After the sun's gone down, and Aerostat actually means some sort of vehicle, I guess you could say, that is powered without an engine. So, you know, aerostats powered by gas and hot air, right? They became the first to put living creatures in that area. What do you call that? The area where the people stand?
I would call that the basket.
The basket is a good word for that, yeah.
There might be a more technical word for that.
I like basket.
Of course, they sent up a sheep and a duck and a rooster. At first, and I guess they thought, well, you know, if it falls from the sky, it will be an easy way to kill those animals, and then we can just chop them up and have them for dinner later.
Okay.
I'm sure they weren't so cruel, though. They wanted those animals to survive.
You can't eat all of these, though. Look at they've got the sheep, the mutton, the duck, which is, you know, edible, and also the rooster, which is chicken.
Yeah, but I understand that rooster meat is not so great.
No, you want to eat the hen. Yeah, definitely.
You want to eat the hen. But I guess if you're hungry enough, you'll eat a rooster.
Heck yeah.
But in any case, anything that's living, especially if it can walk around, is a creature. So these are, you know, animals are creatures. Sheep, duck, rooster. A rat is a creature. A snake is a creature. Even a fish is a creature. Just a living thing, basically. And the flight lasted 8 minutes and covered 3 kilometers before landing safely with the animals unharmed. So they flew through the air with the greatest of ease in that balloon. It lasted 8 minutes. They're probably scared. If I were a rooster flying up above the earth like that, I'd probably be terrified.
Oh, I wonder if they were making lots of noise. Yeah,
they could have been, but they landed safely 3 kilometers further down, and they were unharmed. They were not injured at all. They lived to tell the tale. And the brothers then moved on to manned balloon flights, sending 3 people up in a tethered balloon on October 15th, 1783, later that year. Okay, so in this particular case, they sent people up in that balloon. And this balloon was tethered. Here we've got the word tether, T-E-T-H-E-R, which means something is basically held with a rope. Okay, that reminds me of a game we used to play when I was a kid. Tether ball.
Yeah,
the ball
right.
is attached to a rope and it's attached to a pole, and you try to hit it around the pole and stop the other person from hitting it too.
My brother always won. Yeah,
I haven't seen a tether ball set in many, many years.
I haven't seen one in Taiwan for sure. We have one in our backyard at home. But yeah, tether ball, that's right. Tethered, you can also use just to talk about being connected in more of a figurative way. It doesn't have to be a rope. Maybe you're tethered to your smartphone. Yeah. Mm. Everyone's tethered to their smartphones
sure
these days.
Are.
It's
yep.
terrible. So a month later, after doing the manned flights, 2 men flew 9 kilometers across Paris in a Montgolfier balloon. Montgolfier. That's hard. I was surprised at how far the balloon went in just a couple minutes, right?
Mm.
It went 3 kilometers in just 8 minutes. That's pretty far. So it's moving quickly, although it doesn't look like it from the ground so much. Moving on to the last paragraph here. Nowadays, we're talking about modern times. We're talking about current times. So nowadays, there are hot air balloon activities and festivals all over the world. They are quite popular, and I rarely hear of anyone dying in these accidents. It is risky, though. Don't think that, you know, just going up, you're going to be okay. You could have an accident. But for the most part, they're pretty safe.
Pretty much, although every once in a while you hear about them crashing into power lines or something like that. It does happen. There is some risk involved. So, yeah, it's not 100% safe, but they try to keep it as safe as possible. So let's talk about some of these activities and festivals all over the world. For instance, it's possible to go on a hot air balloon safari in Kenya. Kenya, of course, is a very large country in Africa. And if you go on a hot air balloon safari, I suppose they fly over natural areas where you can see wild animals and stuff like that. That's probably the experience of a lifetime. And of course, Taiwan has its own international balloon festival in Taidong County. You've probably heard about that. There is a balloon festival that takes place here in Taiwan. You can probably see videos all about that. And then going to New Mexico, USA, well, Albuquerque's International Balloon Fiesta in New Mexico, USA, is worth checking out, too. Now, that's a pretty big one, which we'll talk about more in detail in our next program. But right now, we're going to take a break and listen once again to our Chinese teacher.
在西元1783年，第一个无人的热气球升空了。我们来看到第三段后面的句子提到 The flight lasted 8 minutes and covered 3 kilometers before landing safely with the animals unharmed. 在这里呢，提到这一次的飞行持续了8分钟，然后呢，飞行了3公里，然后那么安全的着陆的时候，乘坐的动物们都毫发无伤。那么眼尖的同学一定会注意到，这里又出现了这个句型 with the animals unharmed。这次名词的后面是用 VPP， 因为这些动物都没有受到伤害，是一种被动被受伤，所以呢，在这里被伤害，我们就用 VPP 表被动来表达。而这里的 cover 呢，以前常用的意思是有覆盖的意思，不过在句子里面呢，则是解释成为行过、走过的路程。举例来说 ，We covered about 30 miles a day， 指的呢，就是我们每一天大概会走30英里。后面的句子继续写着 ，The brothers then moved on to manned balloon flights。Sending 3 people up in a tethered balloon on October 15th, 1783. 这对兄弟呢，后来就转向载人飞行的气球。我们用的是 manned, M-A-N-N-E-D, 有载人的气球，然后把三个人送上系着绳子的气球。那么呢，到文章，今天文章的最后一句，我们讲到在不同地方所举行的国际热气球嘉年华。这里提到 Of course, Taiwan has its own International Balloon Festival in Taidong County, while Albuquerque's International Balloon Fiesta in New Mexico, U.S. is worth checking out too.台东有热气球，那么美国的新墨西哥州也有一个国际的热气球节，是值得大家一探究竟的。这里的 worth 当作形容词，要特别注意，后面有动词出现的时候，要用 ing 的形式来呈现。以上就是今天的课文讲解，谢谢收听。
That's all the time we have for today, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us, and please join us again next time when we continue to talk about hot air balloons. Until then, from all of us here at English Digest, I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie. Bye. See ya.